Okay, Erev Tov, everyone. I want to thank you all for coming. I most appreciate the shul also hosting it tonight. So this is, I think, my fourth book launch. I would hope it's already soaring somewhere. People ask me what the book's about, and I say it's about a kilo. That's a, you know, more or less. Give a few grams here or there. Uvacharta b'chaim. Repentance for Life. So it's actually a compilation and revision of 18 of my Shabbat Shuvah drashot over the years. In all, I gave, I don't know, maybe close to 30. And I chose 18 so as not to have a book of 1,000 pages. I'm not Tolstoy, but it's close to 600 pages, as someone pointed out. And it's rewritten in the sense that when a drasha is given orally, it sounds different, it's heard differently than a person who reads the written word. So it's much more amenable now to being read. I've told a number of audiences that, I know there's some Brits here tonight. My editor was British. And, you know, I would make a joke every now and then when I was speaking. And some of them I recalled and I put them in the original text. And yeah, Brits are a little challenged in the areas, at least as I found, outside of Monty Python. And she would always make a note to me, is this really necessary? And sometimes I said, all right, take it out. And other times I would answer, yes, it's really necessary. I mean, that's part of the flow. So you get the experience of being there. And the topics are really wide-ranging. One of the things that would challenge me every year. You know, you can't say the same thing every year. But over the many years, there were so many different facets of tshuva, such an essential part of our lives. Just the topics, tshuva and tzedakah, children, happiness, avat Yisrael, the world to come, fear of God, humility, hidden things, the ways of peace, fear of sin, the land of Israel, all these things and more relate to tshuva. What I want to discuss for a few minutes tonight is really synopsized, maybe it's 20% or so, of what was the final essay in the book. And that is the topic of repentance and the land of Israel. Something that we don't ordinarily think are at all related. And I think, though, over the next few minutes, we'll see that not only are they related, but they're related in an essential way, an inherent way, one that should make us take notice of where we are today. So that's why I ask you to take out the Chumashim. If you turn to Devarim Perek Lamed, which is known as the Parashat HaTshuvah, this we read in Parashat Nitzavim 8 days ago. And the Torah says, after all the rebukes and the curses, Moshe says that it'll come to pass after all these things, the blessing and the curse, you will return to your heart, literally. And where? In the midst of the nations to which God has scattered you. I want you to notice there are 7 different references in this parsha called the Parshat HaTshuvah, these 10 psukim, 10 references to the word shuv, return of one sort or another. That's the first. Second, vishavta ad Hashem Elokecha. You'll return to the Lord your God, vishamata v'kolo. Pasuk Gimel, vishav Hashem Elokecha shvutcha v'rechamecha. God will return your captives and have mercy on them. Vishav again, v'kibetzcha mikol amim, asher afitzcha Hashem lekecha shama. He will return and bring back and gather you from all the nations. And the next psukim we're familiar with from the Tefillah Shlomo Dina, if we're scattered to the ends of the earth, from there God will gather us and bring us back to the land that he bequeathed to our fathers. Umol Hashem lekecha levavcha v'tlevav zarecha. God will circumcise the covering of your heart and that of your descendants, meaning God will remove any impediments we have to tshuva, and he'll give all these curses to our enemies, and then, vata tashuv, you will return or repent, vishamata b'kol Hashem, you'll listen to God's voice, pasuk tet, God will bless us with all sorts of things. Ki yashuv Hashem, when God returns to rejoice with us. And then finally, ki tishma b'kol Hashem Elokecha, will heed God's voice to observe His commandments, His statutes, haktuva b'sefer Torah zeh, ki tashuv el Hashem Elokecha, when you return to God. Return, return, return. You have seven different mentions of return. But what's fascinating is that they don't all relate to tshuva as repentance. The first two relate to tshuva. Vashevota elavavecha, and then vishafta ad Hashem elokecha. And then the next two don't relate to repentance. They relate to the return to the land of Israel, to Shivat Zion. Vishav Hashem elokecha shvutcha v'richamecha, vishav v'kibetzcha. That's return to the land of Israel. But then the Torah goes back, in Moshe's soliloquy, goes back to talking again about tshuva. Ve'ata tashuv, ki tashuv el Hashem. So you have all these references, but the order is strange. It's not sequential. Tshuva, then Shivat Zion. What you have is tshuva, then Shivat Zion, and then tshuva again. What are we talking about? While we're here, in Pasuk Bet, Vishavta ad Hashem Elokecha, you return to God ad, and then in the last Pasuk Yod, Ki Tashuv El Hashem Elokecha, you'll return to God, but El, not ad. What's the difference between El and Ad? Hey, the other shul, I give a shir in Hebrew, is El Ad. I never thought of that. Okay. Now, if you look, if you won't have it, I'm in front of me. The Rambam, so you have these two things. You have repentance, and you have the return to Zion. Rambam says in Hilchot Tshuva, Perek Zion, that all the prophets prophesied regarding Tshuva, and Ein Yisrael Nigalin Elibit Tshuva, we need repentance to be redeemed. And the Rambam says the Torah already promised us that at the end of days, the Jewish people repent, besof galutan, at the end of the exile, umiyad hei nigalin, and will be redeemed immediately. Shenemar, v'haya ki yavo alecha kol dvarim, all these things will come upon you, the pasuk we just quoted, pasuk Aleph, and then v'shafta ad Hashem Elokecha, you'll return to God, and then v'shav Hashem Elokecha, God will restore you. So you see, the Rambam conflates the two as well. Repentance, tshuva, and Shivat Zion, the return to Zion. Why should that be? I'll jump ahead and mention that there are three fascinating symmetries between tshuva and Eretz Yisrael and the land of Israel. So the first is something that none of them are really well known, but they really should be better known. So the Gemara says in Psachim that there are seven things that were created before creation. Now we have to understand what that means to begin with. But seven things were created before creation. One of them is tshuva, repentance. Another, Torah, Gan Eden, Shmo Shel Mashiach, the possibility, the eschatological promise of the perfect era. But one is Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMikdash, the Gemara says, was created before creation. So you have tshuva created before creation, and Beit HaMikdash. What's the Beit HaMikdash? It's the holiest place in the Holy Land. So the existence of a Beit HaMikdash presupposes Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara is telling us, and we'll see a proof in a moment, that Eretz Yisrael, in fact, as a concept, if not an entity, was created before creation. Somehow it had to precede creation. So you have tshuva and Eretz Yisrael. The Medrash says that bizchut shalosha dvarim nivra ha'olam, in the merit of three things the world was created. And many different statements in Chazal like this, but here this Medrash says bizchut chala, bizchut masrot, u'bizchut bikurim, in the merit of chala, the tithes, and the bikurim, the first fruit. What is that? It's the produce of the land of Israel. So in the merit of the produce of the land of Israel, the world was created. Ipso facto, Eretz Yisrael, at least in concept, had to be created before the world also, just like tshuva. What does that mean? Secondly, tshuva is not just a seasonal imperative. Tshuva is really at the heart of the life of a Jew. I mean, we say every day, Ashiveinu Hashem, the Torah Techa, bring us back. God is our rotze b'tshuva. And yet, is tshuva a mitzvah? Is it their mitzvah to do tshuva? is it one of the 613 mitzvot? And I have some who say yes. According to the Rambam, it would not be one of the mitzvot. Rambam says the very beginning of Hilchot Tshuva, that if a person sins, any sin, positive commandment, violates a prohibition, kishiyase tshuva, v'yashuv micheto, chayav litvadot. When a person does tshuva, repents, and repents from his sin, the obligation is vidui, confession. So the mitzvah in Taryag is not to repent. The mitzvah is to confess, to say vidui. Of course, it's not that far-fetched if you think about it. If there are mitzvah to do tshuva, then it would presuppose, almost make imperative, the necessity of sin. And that couldn't be. So it's almost a natural process. Kishiyase tshuva, a person will want to repent, he's obligated to confess. But that doesn't make tshuva one of the 613 commandments, which is strange if you think about it. This the Minchas Chinuch says openly, De'eina tshuva mitzvat aseh, lo katav mitzvat aseh shiyase tshuva. Tshuva is not a positive commandment. You don't find such a commandment. Rather, if a person's in the position of having sinned, then that person has to repent, but mainly the essence of repentance is to confess the sins. That would, so therefore it's not a mitzvah. Arguably, what else is arguably not a mitzvah in Taryag? Notwithstanding its importance? Very good, that's the theme. Dwelling in the land of Israel. So we all know famously the Ramban writes in his commentary, really his critique of the Rambam Sefer Mitzvah, the Rambam left out the Mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, he didn't put it in Taryag. So Ramban has a critique, Mitzvot Sheshachachotan Arav, Mitzvot the Rambam forgot, all right? And that's the fourth Aseh, that Nitztavinu L'Reshet Haaretz, we're commanded to conquer the land and settle it, V'lo Nazva B'yad Zulotenu Menomot L'Shmava, we can't allow the land ever to be in under the sovereignty of others or desolate. Rather, it is incumbent upon us to settle the land of Israel. Is it a positive commitment to the Rambam? No. And famously, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in Igret Moshe, he was asked, is there a mitzvah to live in the land of Israel today? So he said that most poskim say there is a mitzvah to live in the land of Israel. Aval pashut she'ein ze bizmana ze mitzvah chiyuvit. It's not an obligatory commandment, but rather it's a mitzvah kiyumit. We fulfill a mitzvah by living here, but we're not obligated. Now, granted, the Ramban differs. Many others do as well. The Ramban differs and says, no, we are obligated, but Rav Moshe said not. And this notion of a mitzvah chiyuvit, or mitzvah kiyumit, is one that exists in other areas of Torah, and it exists here too. Like, take the classic case of a mitzvah kiyumit. The Torah says that if a man wants to divorce his wife, v'chotav lo sefer kritut, he has to write a bill of divorcement and give it to her. When the man does that, he fulfills the mitzvah aseh. It's one of the 613 commandments. But that doesn't mean that a person has to divorce his wife in order to fulfill the mitzvah. No, of course not. That would be insane. So rather, if a person, God forbid, is in that position, then he has to give a get, and that get fulfills the mitzvah aseh. It's a kiyum mitzvah. Without there being a chiyuv mitzvah. Well, that notion of there being a kiyuv mitzvah without a chiyuv mitzvah is the same thing we have here, both with tshuva and Eretz Yisrael. So how could it be? You have these two phenomenal entities in Jewish life. How could they not be part of Taryag? So much of our lives is consumed by tshuva and Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And finally, you have a whole category of mitzvot that are considered shkula keneged kol mitzvot, the equivalent of all other mitzvot. The most famous of them, and that's not listed in one section, although Rav Volba wrote a little sefer called Mitzvot HaShkulot that I have, but Talmud Torah keneged kulam, all right? Talmud Torah is the equivalent of all of the mitzvot. What other mitzvot are considered shkulot? I think in all there are seven or eight. Shabbat, Mila, Tzitzit, and I mentioned Talmud Torah. What else? So we know from the famous Medrash, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the Medrash, the Sifrei in Parshat Re'eh, V'irashtem oto v'yishavtem bo, Amru, Chazal said, Yeshivat Eretz Yisrael Shkula Kenehit Kol HaMitzvot Shabbat Torah. Dwelling land of Israel is the equivalent of all the other mitzvot in the Torah. Alright? What's the paradox? It's the equivalent and not even a mitzvah in its own right. What else is not a mitzvah in its own right in the Shkula? So here's the Balaturim. In the passage that we cited, Ki Tashuv El Hashem Elokecha, what's the next pasuk? Ki HaMitzvah Hazot. What's the mitzvah? That, according to many Mefarshim, is the mitzvah of tshuva. The Balaturim writes, Lomar Shkula Yatshuva Keneged Kol HaMitzvot Kulan. Tshuva is the equivalent of all the other mitzvot. So here you have tshuva and Eretz Yisrael themselves, not mitzvot, and yet they're considered shkula k'neged kol ha-mitzvot. We often say what it means to be shkula k'neged kol ha-mitzvot, but of course, how can that be? So I want to give an answer, not take too much time. The Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, of course, is central to Jewish life. Not only to Jewish life, but as we know, to Jewish history as well. And you see from the psukim, Rav Kook said, there's a seder, there's a process that exists for the geula, for the redemption, for Shivat Zion. And first Rav Kook said, those are the first psukim there, that after all this happens, v'ashevot, v'ashevota elu v'avecha, bless you, b'chol ha-goyim ha-sheidach Hashem l'kecha shama. You'll repent first when in exile, in the lands to which God has scattered you. That's where the first tshuva will begin. What's that tshuva? Well, tshuva is always a return to God, but in context, Rav Kook said, that tshuva that will take place amongst the nations to which we're scattered in the exile is what he called Tchiyat HaUmah, the renaissance of Jewish national life, the revival of our national lives. Our national lives were dormant for almost two millennia, and now they've come back. And Rav Kook writes towards the end of Orot HaTshuvah that there will be, in fact, when he wrote it already, there was what he called Hit'orut Cheftza Shel HaUmah Bichlala LaShuv El Artza. There'll be an arousal of the desire of the nation in general to return to its land, and be'emet, that desire itself, or shel tshuva yeshba. It has the light of repentance in it. Now, consider what Rav Kook is saying. It's almost countercultural to the way we habitually look at Shivat Zion. We see the chalutzim, the pioneers, they're not religious, and many were alienated from Torah and mitzvot. Rav Kook said it would have been impossible had they not had the aur of tshuva within them, the light of repentance, had they not had the desire to revive Jewish life, they wouldn't have come here. And he's absolutely right if you just look at the statistics. Between 1880 and 1920, roughly 3 to 4 million Jews fled Eastern and parts of Central Europe and moved either west or south. Between 3 and 4 million. Most went to America, some to England, some to South Africa, some to France. About 2% went to the land of Israel. That means 98% did not. What made that 2% go to the land of Israel and not to America or Britain? And the answer is, that's the hit'orerut that took place. That's the or shel tshuva. And in this, Rav Kook was actually echoing words that others had written before him. Start with Rav Yehuda Alkali, who was the Rav in Belgrade in Serbia in the first half of the 19th century. Among his congregants, I mentioned, was one Shimon Leib Herzl, who was Herzl's grandfather. And Rav Alkali was really the first Rav in his era, early 19th century, to call for the revival of a Jewish national home in the land of Israel. He wrote, he preached, even went around traveling, trying to drum up support, without much success. But Rav Alkali wrote, Hatshuva hi habi'ah. When the Torah speaks about return, the return is a return to the land of Israel. That has to be part of the process of tshuva. Not only that, even earlier, about a half century earlier, before Rav Alkali, Rav Yonatan Eibeshitz wrote that, Shivat Zion hi ikar tshuva. The essence of the tshuva that takes place at the end of days is the return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel. So small minority came back. But they came back because they had the chefetz pnimi. They had this internal desire. What's the first stage? The first stage is vashevota elavavecha b'chol agoyim. Something stirs in the Jewish heart in the exile. And v'shafta ad Hashem elokecha will return to God. And here Rav Kook said, ad is ad v'lo ad b'chlal, meaning up to, but it's not complete. What follows that initial stage of vashevota and v'shafta? That's v'shav Hashem elokecha shvutcha, v'shav v'kibetzcha. That's followed by Shivat Zion. The first stage of tshuva exists, comes about, then follows the beginnings of Shivat Zion, and the second stage of tshuva, v'yata tashuv v'shamata b'kol Hashem, ki tashuv el Hashem elokecha. That's the tshuva that takes place in the land of Israel, when the Jewish people are already there. That's a higher level of tshuva. That really is the culmination of the national repentance. So if we are ordained almost to perceive tshuva as an individual act, we think of our own sins and what we could do better. Tshuva has that individual context, but also has a national context and a profound national context. I'll tell you something. You know, in shul this morning, if you notice the slichot, sometimes it's very strange. In the slichot, you find, just the one said, we had this long slicha this morning, so I used the art scroll, and there the art scroll said this big kina about Yerushalayim. The first and last words were Yerushalayim. So the art scroll said, it's a kina, it's not a slicha, why is it here? Oh, they don't answer, they're not Zionists, but the answer is, it's because of the conflation of Akim. The conflation of the land of Israel and tshuva. And to make the point even stronger, thank you, by the way, in Zechor HaChamecho, very good. Zechor HaChamecho, Zechor Lono Brit Rishonim, so we start saying things that are natural to tshuva, that God should mullet livaveinu, God zrokel in Mayim Torim, God should sprinkle upon us pure waters. Good. What else should he do? Mechev Sha'enu, erase our sins. I skip one. Mechev Sha'enu Lamancha, Halbein Chata'enu, whiten our sins. All this is very natural. And then it segues. Hashev Shvutenu, according to the Psukim we mentioned before. Kabeis Nidachenu. What does that have to do with Tshuva? Now you see what has to do with Tshuva. Because that's the definition of the national repentance. And individual repentance will always be incomplete. True repentance is always going to require a national tshuva, and that depends on Shivat Zion. That's the first approach, national and individual. There are two types of tshuva. And the tshuva of Eretz Yisrael, tshuva and Eretz Yisrael, that reflects the national repentance that is essential to Jewish life. But there's a second approach as well I want to share, and explains really the symmetries that I mentioned, the three symmetries that Tshuva and Eretz Yisrael preceded creation, created before creation. And Tshuva and Eretz Yisrael are not the mitzvot chiyuviyot, the mitzvot kiyumiyot. And Tshuva and Eretz Yisrael are shkula, the equivalent of all the mitzvot. What does it mean? So when we say that something preceded creation, it means that it's a pillar. It's something without which creation could not exist or could not have taken place. So tshuva is obvious. God anticipated that man would stumble. So tshuva was created before the world was created. But the Beit HaMikdash and Eretz Yisrael were also prerequisites for creation or preceded creation, because that's the place of atonement. Jews, and in fact Gentiles as well, need a place to point to and say, this reminds me of my moral obligations. This reminds me of God. Holy land, promised land, it's a different type of existence. So tshuva and Eretz Yisrael had to precede creation, because creation could not have endured, or really would not have been worthwhile, if it hadn't taken place. It's shkula keneged kol mitzvot bo. So shkula means that it reflects on, it permeates all others, like Talmud Torah keneged kulam, meaning the extent to which a person learns Torah, to that extent, our observance of mitzvot will be more refined, more proficient, more understandable, and we'll get more out of it. Shkula in this context means that tshuva, repentance, measures our seriousness about mitzvot, our commitment to mitzvot. It forces us to reckon with our frailties, to admit guilt where we've stumbled, and to rectify whatever mistakes that we've made. But to be clear, it's a mistake that Rav Kook underscored in Arot HaTshuva, really the reason why he wrote the Sefer, because he felt that to many people, tshuva was a debilitating, despondent process, whereas it should be a joyous process. So if Cook writes that tshuva is not what we think, that it's from evil to good. We have these sins, we undertake never to do them again and confess, etc., and then we try to do better. Tshuva is not only from evil to sin. There's a more important level of tshuva, or type of tshuva, that is tshuva from smaller virtue to greater virtue. Meaning things we do well, but we can do better. That's also tshuva. It's not just the negative. Sometimes we do things positively, and we can grow from that. We can become even better. That's also tshuva, probably more important. It's chatan lefanecha. Tshuva means we acknowledge that we sinned before God. We recognize the higher power. Well, it's in the land of Israel that that higher power is most palpable. There the Shechina, the divine presence, is most dominant. What is the land of Israel? But Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Doresh Ata. It's the land that God inquires after. Tomin Ein Hashem Elokecha B'Mei Rishit Hashanah Nachmit Shanah. It's the land where God's eyes are upon it from the beginning of the year to the end. It never changes. And Rashi says so beautifully and tellingly, nations rise and fall based on their relationship to the land of Israel and the people of Israel. And it's historically true. We see it today as well. And not only that, Rashi says, blessing flows to the non-Jews, to the Gentiles, through the land of Israel. That's because it's Eretz Asher, Ein Hashem Elokecha, Eretz Asher, Hashem Elokecha Doresh Ota. It's a land where God's eyes are upon at all times. All things that are good for the world come through to the land of Israel. So that's Shkula. Shkula means our relationship with the land of Israel as individuals and as a nation is going to be a primary determinant of what our relationship with God is. We understand the lifanecha that exists in life. And finally, the third point about neither tshuva nor Yishuv Eretz Yisrael being part of Taryag in the classic formulation, it's because Rav Kook explained that Yishuv Eretz Yisrael and tshuva, they're both mitzvot kololot. It's a mitzvah kolelot, meaning an all-encompassing, all-inclusive mitzvah. Like the Rambam says in the introduction, say for mitzvot, kedoshim tiyu, you should be holy. It's a very important mandate, it's an imperative, but it's not part of Taryag, because it infuses so many different mitzvot. So too, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah kolelot. What's also mitzvah kolelot? Obviously, tshuva also. Both are beyond the mitzvot, because they're innate in the soul of a Jew. Tshuva is a state. It's part of the human condition. It's almost part of our nature to want to return to God, to want to be pulled back to God. It's as if God is a magnet for the sinning Jew. That's true. What else is a magnet for the Jew? The land of Israel. All right? Sometimes the magnet is strong, sometimes we feel it, sometimes we sense it, sometimes we resist it, but nonetheless it's there. Because if it wasn't there, none of us would be here today. Wouldn't be sitting here tonight. So that magnet exists. That's why it's not part of Tayag. It transcends Tayag. Tshuva transcends Tayag, because that's also innate to want to return to the place that we've lost or from which we've strayed, Hamakom, so to the land of Israel. Tshuva Shlema, complete tshuva, can only take place in the land of Israel, because it requires Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, And it requires living in the land of Israel on the highest level. So you have these two, it's a redundancy in Pasuk Gimel, Vishav Hashem Elkecha Shvutcha Rechamecha, and then Vishav Kibetzcha, the word Vishav, God will bring you back, is said twice. Rav Zuckerman said that the first Vishav refers to the physical return of Jews. God will bring you back, Vrichamecha. The second is the spiritual return of Jews. That's the tshuva of a yachid, which of an individual, which is the prerequisite for the tshuva of the nation. And as Rav Kook noted, ultimately, we work towards the time in history where we'll be the tshuva of Kol Olam Kulo, the world entirely. It seems very far off. It seems very difficult. But the truth is, it's not at all, because the signs are all there. And again, I say, if the signs weren't there, most of us would not be here. We could find lives elsewhere. But the signs are there, and they keep growing day after day, year after year. And the closer we get, so the more the resistance develops. But nonetheless, that resistance cannot stop the train of redemption, which moves forward. Last week, I was davening Psuka de Zimra, and I always tell people that every now and then it's good to pay attention to the davening. I like to do it myself every now and then. So I was saying, V'charati imo habrit. We say it every morning. V'charati imo habrit, latet, eretz ha-kanani, chiti, etc. V'atakim et v'recha kitzad agata. God enacted with him, Avram, a covenant to give him the land of the Canaan, the other nations. He fulfilled his word, kitzad agata. So it struck me when I was davening, you go to a brit meal that takes place in shul, that's the pasuk that's read out loud. It announces there's a Brit to come after davening. V'charoti mu abrit. What's the problem? The Brit in the Pasuk, which is from Nehemia, has absolutely nothing to do with the Brit Milah. It has to do with the Brit Haaretz, with Avram Avinu. So why are we saying it? Because the word Brit is there. The word Brit you can say in Hodu also. So you find it there. So why do we say this Pasuk? So I thought about it for a moment, and then the answer occurred to me. That here we're taking a young child, an infant, really, 8 days old, and entering this child into the Brit of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, making this child a full-fledged member of the Jewish people, even imprinting on his flesh this commitment to the Jewish people. And in fact, I have no doubt it's a very majestic moment, it's a grand commitment, which is not to say that historically it's always been easy, because it hasn't been easy. And we know that. What are we telling this child? And Rachmana Litzlan, you do find situations that after the Holocaust, when there were Jews who wanted to hide their Jewishness, there are parents who dafka did not circumcise their sons. They should not be noticeable, identifiable as Jews. So it's difficult. That persecution, their enemies, wherever we go in the world we find enemies. You come home, there are plenty of enemies also. It's not normal. We understand why it is. Because with the Am HaNivchar, we represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. We receive the Torah from Sinai. Shemisham Yorda Sinola Olam. From there, hatred came against the Jews, but they hated Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov also. So it's been part of the Jewish identity since the very beginning. And it comes about in the strangest ways, and I think because we're so familiar with it, we take it for granted. We say, that's the way it is. I have two little grandsons who live in Ramot, and I'd say they've been, at least the older one has been through a few, sirens and missiles and running to the Mamad, and both of them, even the youngest is now seven, so this past summer they also had a run. Ramot also had a couple of sirens. One missile landed not far in the forest of Yerushalayim. So, they hear a siren and they run. In July, they went to America and spent a few weeks in New Jersey in West Orange at my brother-in-law, sister-in-law's house, and they have a pool there, and they're swimming in the pool. And apparently West Orange has an early warning system if thunderstorms are in the area to warn people to get out of their pools. Sure enough, a siren went off. They ran out of the pool, and they asked, where's the Mamad? Okay. Of course, the rain was like a half hour away. It wasn't an emergency. But the very idea that a seven-year-old and a nine-year-old will look at the world that way, as if you hear a siren and instinctively you react, some enemy is sending rockets and missiles to try to kill us, it's not normal, all right? No child should have to live with that. And yet here we are taking this infant and bringing this infant into the Brit Avraham, making him part of this people that has that history and this present as well. How could we do that? And the answer is in the pasuk itself. Vatokem et dvarecha ki tzadik ata. You fulfilled your word to Avram because you're righteous. And you fulfilled your word to all of us as well. All right? It's a mind-boggling thing that we take for granted. Here you have the Torah tell us, Moshe Rabbeinu himself, Moses, said to us at the end of days, V'shav Hashem Elokecha shuvtcha v'rechamecha, v'shav v'kibetzcha, im nidachem t'ashamayim, we scatter wherever you are, we're going to find you. The Jews in the land of Israel, that I think from over 120 countries now across the world. And Rashi says, a beautiful Rashi, on that pasuk, v'shav v'shav, that the day of Kibbutz Goliath is so great, uvekoshi, and is difficult, ki'ilu hu atzmo tzarich liyot ocheiz biyadav mamash ish ish mimkomo, as if God himself has to reach down and take every single man and woman by the hand and lead them back to the land of Israel. It's difficult. Every ole, all of us here, we have our own story. Every Jew comes back to the land of Israel, when, how, why, everyone has their own story. It's ish ish mimkomo ocheiz biyadav mamash. Everyone has their own story. And nonetheless, when you look at it bigadol, it's vatokem et dvarecha ki tzadik ata. God fulfills his word. And here what? We're going to take it for granted. We're going to ignore it. We're not going to see the signs. We're not going to draw the conclusions. That itself is absurd and is a poor reflection on us. No. We see we're unique among the generations in the last 19 centuries to see before our eyes, vatokem et dvarecha. That's a tremendous chut. It's a tremendous privilege. It's not to say we merit it other than other generations, but that's the Ratzon Hashem, that we should see it and we should act upon it. Tshuva and Eretz Yisrael are not disparate contexts or concepts. They're not thrown together for the purpose of a drasha. They really are conflated. They're intertwined because that represents the highest level of tshuva that is possible. Tshuva of Am Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. And that is both a harbinger of Biyat HaMashiach as well as a prelude to Biyat HaMashiach. B'mehera b'yameinu. Amen. I want to thank everyone for coming tonight.